Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture. A better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Valencia-based Sunkist Growers comprises over 1,000 multi-generational farmers, many of whom specialize in Caracara oranges, leading a cooperative to service one of the largest Cara suppliers in the game. Sunkist has redesigned its packaging options and merchandising offerings based on consumer trends and insights to better drive the category this citrus season. Health continues to be top of mind as consumers repeatedly seek out products that play a role in supporting holistic lifestyles, and the pink-orange Caracara is no exception. Orange on the outside and pink on the inside, Caras get their unique pink interior from the antioxidant lycopene. Offering 100% of the daily vitamin C intake, this specialty orange variety also contains key nutrients like folate, fiber, and potassium. To better comprehend the ever-changing behavior behind today's consumers, Sunkist has newly commissioned studies shedding light on key purchase motivators and recommendations needed to fine-tune the overall experience for citrus shoppers. Sunkist is able to apply these insights into action, customizing packaging, merchandising, and shopper marketing program offerings to each retailer's unique goals and consumer requests. Sunkist Growers is a citrus marketing cooperative founded in 1893. It is owned and operated by thousands of family growers. Sunkist Growers is a citrus marketing cooperative founded in 1893, which is owned by and operated for thousands of family farmers growing citrus in California and Arizona. As the end of September closes in, one California grape grower is looking towards wrapping up the season on a proprietary variety that it discovered in its fields more than 10 years ago. Mirabella Farm Incorporated's now proprietary variety, the Red Malibu Seedless Grape, was discovered then but has been available commercially now for 5 years. It has been available on a very limited basis because they had a small test plot and were marketing in certain areas, according to Felipe Macarian of Mirabella Farms. However, they've also been increasing their acreage due to the demand that they've seen for it. The jumbo-sized grape is up to an inch in diameter and is cherry red to light red in color, and some have a tendency to even have a blonde or green finish to them. They also have a very thin skin and are very crunchy on first or second bite as well. It's also very, very sweet with high sugars, according to Markarian. However, gaining consumer awareness in the field of increasing grape variety options can be challenging. Right now, the grape is only available on the West Coast. The grower shipper via partnership with Albertsons has been showcasing it in stores via sampling to expand shoppers' familiarity with it. The season is a short one on this variety from late August through September, so the grower shipper is on the tail end of what has been a challenging grape season. He said they've been dealing with the effects of Hurricane Hillary, destroying a lot of the table grape crop this year. Though they have received some rain, the crops are somewhat spared. While the rain event has strengthened overall grape pricing, Mirabella Farms has kept pricing on Red Malibu similar to last year's pricing in order to promote the variety. Based on the final 2023 delivery report issued by the California League of Food Producers, clean peach deliveries during the 2023 harvest amounted to 219,173 tons. That's up 7% from last year's 204,440-ton crop. It represents a 3% increase over the industry's 212,333-ton block estimate in June. The statewide average amounts to 16.3 tons an acre. That's up 1.3 tons per acre from last year's 15-ton yield. Fruit quality was generally very good, although some earlier varieties experienced increased split pits and had some issues with soft fruit developing in mid-August. CCPA members delivered just under 13,330 tons of mechanically harvested fruit this year, which amounts to 9% of total delivery volume. Earlier this month, the Animal Plant Inspection Service and the California Department of Food and Agriculture established an oriental fruit fly quarantine in Brentwood, Contra Costa County, California. This action is in response to the confirmed detections of 6 adult male off from various sites in Brentwood by the California Department of Food and Agriculture between August 25th and August 30th. Between August 30th and September 5th, CDFA confirmed 7 additional male off from Brentwood. All were in traps in various types of trees in residential areas. APHIS is applying safeguarding measures and restrictions on the interstate movement or entry into foreign trade of regulated articles from the area to prevent the spread of off to non-infested areas of the United States. In cooperation with CDFA, APHIS is establishing a quarantine area encompassing 99 square miles of Contra Costa County. There are 939 acres of commercial agricultural production of off-host crops in a quarantine area, including apricots, nectarines, grape, squash, walnuts, and cherries. APHIS is working with CDFA and the Contra Costa County Department of Agriculture to respond to these detections following a program survey, treatment protocols, and regulatory responses. The establishment of this quarantine area can be found on the APHIS website, which contains a description of all current federal fruit fly quarantine areas. Grower-shipper Babe Farms is introducing a new product at the International Fresh Produce Association's Global Produce and Floral Show in Anaheim on October 20th and 21st. The latest addition to the collection of luxury lettuces is Baby Butter Cakes. These petite heads of butter lettuce are available in both green and red varieties and derive their name from their buttery flavor and cake-like shape. Embracing a soft and luscious texture with ribboning leaves that beautifully cradle the dressings, Baby Butter Cakes boast three times the number of leaves compared to an average butterhead lettuce. Each piece also maintains a uniform shape and size, according to the company. California Border Patrol officers have arrested a Mexican man earlier this month after he was caught with over 400 pounds of cocaine hiding in a box of cucumbers at the Otay Mesa port. The suspect was taken into custody on September 5th. Officers discovered 146 packages of cocaine in the cucumber shipment. The drugs were weighed in at 401.68 pounds. The cucumber seizure came just 3 days after CPD discovered 22 5-gallon buckets of liquid methamphetamine at the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Tulare County is one of the three largest agricultural production counties in America, which makes it vulnerable to theft and crime. The Tulare County District Attorney's Office is hosting the opening of the California Rural Crime Prevention Task Force, where about 40 law enforcement officers will take a 40-hour course in 5 days. They're teaching students from across the state and from across the United States about all things that they come into contact with when dealing with agricultural crimes. That, according to
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
The 2023 American pistachio harvest is on track to be the largest ever for the crop, with a record 1.3 billion pounds estimated. It will be the third time the industry has hit the billion-pound mark, having previously experienced that number in 2020 and 2021. Pistachios are an alternate-bearing crop that typically produce high 1 year and low the next, but the last few years haven't followed the normal pattern. Richard Matoyan, president of American Pistachio Growers, said the early harvest results are looking good.
The harvest for 2023 started late for our commodity, as they did for just about every other commodity that I've talked to. And so the early results that we're hearing is that the crop size is a little bit larger than what they expected. The individual nut size seems to be a little bit bigger than one would expect for having such a large crop. And lastly, that the quality thus far is pretty good. Insect damage is low, although there is a concern that insect damage is going to be picking up. And then that staining would really be as a result of the Hurricane Hillary that we had in the middle of August, is slightly up, but not up to levels that could be considered problematic as a result of the large amounts of rain that were received here in California.
About 70% of American-grown pistachios are exported, and demand overseas does not look to be slowing, with the strongest interest coming from China and the European Union.
China and the European Union are our two largest markets. They have flip-flopped in more recent years. The European Union has taken over as the number one destination, really as a result of the tariffs that we've experienced in China. But China is still very, very close in terms of the numbers. So those are our two largest markets. We see a lot of product also going to the Middle East. Of course, Canada and Mexico are close opportunities that we don't need to put product onto an ocean container and go through all the issues that one has to shipping in that manner.
Matoyan said that as they finish out this season, moving forward, they'll continue to focus on marketing their product while educating consumers in order to ensure the industry continues to feel the positive momentum of this record crop and the ones to come.
You know, one of our goals as an organization is to market American-grown pistachios, educate consumers about the healthy nutrition provided by pistachios. And we know what is coming up in terms of ever larger crops. And so our goal is to be able to get into these markets and continue to help build demand ahead of the production so that we can effectively and efficiently market these larger crops that we know that are coming in just the next few years.
For My Ag Life, this is Kristen Platts.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
A startup company known as Ravino has announced the establishment of a reusable wine bottle system in the state of Oregon. In collaboration with the Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative, they will leverage the existing reusable deposit system in Oregon, marking the creation of the first large-scale wine bottle return system in the U.S. The OBRC operates the Bottle Drop Network throughout the state, which is a system of collection and drop-off points for specialized bags in which consumers can gather their empty bottles. Consumers then receive their deposit back from the network. Oregon's system is a first of its kind nationally and continues to have the highest return rate and the most convenient return options in the entire country. That according to Eric Chambers of OBRC. The exact amount of the deposit for the reusable wine bottles has yet to be determined. Ravino plans to equip over 30 wine producers with 2.4 milliliter reusable bottles for their bottling in 2024. The word refillable is embossed on the bottom of the bottles, allowing consumers to identify them as reusable bottles. They can be returned at the official OBRC collection points and participating partner producers associated with Ravino. By the third quarter of 2024, Ravino aims to complete a new bottle processing plant where bottles will be sorted, cleaned, and then returned to producers for use. The U.S. House Committee on Financial Services has advanced a bill supported by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association that strengthens oversight of foreign agricultural purchases. Introduced by Representative Frank Lucas, an Oklahoma Republican, the Agricultural Security Risk Review Act would add the Secretary of Agriculture as a member of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. The committee reviews the national security impact of foreign investments in the United States. NCBA's Kent Bacchus says the effort would provide a critical voice for American farmers and ranchers and ensure that the federal government does not overlook agriculture's role in national security. And Senator Josh Hawley has introduced the Strengthening Antitrust Enforcement for Meatpacking Act. The Missouri Republicans' bill would empower antitrust enforcers to break up giant meatpacking and poultry monopolies by establishing thresholds for determining the market concentration in the meatpacking industry. The Hawley bill would prohibit mergers currently considered moderately concentrated. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced it is extending the deadline for the Discrimination Financial Assistance Program. Haley Gilley has the full story.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is extending the deadline for the Discrimination Financial Assistance Program to January 13, 2024, to give eligible farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners more time to apply for assistance. The original deadline was October 31, 2023. This deadline extension is responsive to feedback from potential applicants, non-governmental program administrators, and community-based organizations working closely with USDA to inform and assist eligible individuals. The new deadline will allow more time to reach and help farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners through direct, no-cost technical assistance and training sessions. The extension will also ensure everyone has adequate time to apply, including producers whose harvest season falls during the original application period. Since the opening of the financial assistance application process on July 7th, the Discrimination Financial Assistance Program team has embarked on a nationwide outreach campaign and quickly opens 30 local offices across 26 states. Regional administrators have held well over 600 virtual and in-person events across the country. Cooperators have also held dozens of virtual and in-person events to complement these efforts while also educating their specific networks. Advertising on digital, print, and radio channels targeting potentially eligible individuals and rural communities has also been deployed. These efforts have successfully allowed program staff to reach many potential applicants and will be further increased with the new extended deadline. This program delivers on Section 22007 of the Inflation Reduction Act, which provides financial assistance for farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners who experienced discrimination in USDA farm lending programs prior to January 2021. Congress provided a total of $2.2 billion for this program. The amount of money awarded to individuals through this program will depend on the number of eligible applicants and the consequences of the discrimination. Eligible individuals have the option to apply online or by submitting paper-based forms via mail or in-person delivery to local program offices. Applicants are not required to retain an attorney and should take precautions to protect themselves from potential scams. In addition to the application deadline change, the deadline to request records from USDA's Farm Service Agency for use in applications has been extended to Friday, November 3, 2023. The application process was designed so that FSA records are not required, though relevant records may be attached to an application as additional evidence if they are available.
Senators Tammy Baldwin and Chuck Grassley have introduced the Protecting Future Farmland Act. The new legislation supports farmers as land stewardship efforts as many choose to deploy solar energy on their land. The legislation will ensure that federal investment in rural energy projects prioritizes both land stewardship and responsible deployment of renewable energy to protect America's farmlands for future cultivation. Baldwin, a Wisconsin Democrat, says that they need to support the farmers' land stewardship efforts and help them to protect farmland that is critical to the future of rural economies and national food security. Agricultural landowners are increasingly interested in using their land for solar energy production. About 83% of new solar projects are installed on farmland and ranchland, with almost 50% placed on the most productive, versatile, and resilient land, according to the lawmakers.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.